It always makes me laugh when people who suffer a vaccine injury, when they're referred to as anti-vax. It's like, explain that to me. How are you anti-vax if you actually went out and got the vaccine?
I
What?
got all my vaccines, and I want to be clear that I'm not trying to promote any anti-vax message to anybody listening to your show. I mean, really, why I'm on your show today is to tell my story, tell people about the journey that I've been on, and some of the glaring, really unbelievable things that happened to me in the healthcare system. I want people to just to take what I have to say and just form their own opinions. And if they can find value to it in their own lives, then my time is worth it today. I mean, I've been through a lot, and I know a lot of people that I've now met through this process that have been through a lot. And there's still a lot of people that are alone and isolated. And so having a conversation about this is where we need to start.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So tell me about your, let's start with your background regarding vaccines. Did you have any kind of aversion to vaccines
No,
before?
I never did. I never really thought twice about it. And my first one was mandated, as a lot of people's were at for work. But I mean, I would have probably done it anyway. And I consciously got my follow-ups. It turned out to be my third one that ended up biting me. But Mike, let's talk a little bit about the language, how language kind of guides perception. It's
Please.
an interesting thing, so there are two phrases. If I could come to you and say, I have a vaccine injury, I got injured from a COVID vaccine, that can be a little off-putting to some people, that phrasing.
Right.
But if I was to come to you and say, my body had a reaction to a vaccine, for some reason, that is not as off-putting. But what's the difference between the two phrases? Absolutely nothing.
I
Except the
love that.
language.
Right.
And so I like to, when I have these discussions with people, I talk to them about, hey, yes, my body had a reaction, actually a toxic reaction. And what I am dealing with now is that toxicity occurring in my body. And that's the therapy and the treatment that I'm trying to help, which we'll get into because, like I said, I want as many people possible to get help. We don't have enough doctors out there to help with this. And I'll get into that in a minute. But we can get into the chronology of what happened to me, if that's your next question.
It absolutely is, but I just want to comment on your last comment. I think that's brilliant because number one, that does elicit a different kind of response. I'm not sure why, but it does. But number two, it's a little bit more descriptive. It's a little bit more accurate, right? Because that's actually what happens. The body
Correct.
reacts negatively to whatever is in these things.
And everybody's body is different.
Right.
And that's a point that I think it's overlooked. Like, everybody's body is unique. And so, regardless of how many trials or whatever you have, everybody is different and everybody can experience a different reaction.
That's right on. Okay, so take us through the
So
chronology.
I've been sick for 13 of the last 18 months. It started in November of 2022, and I started feeling a little off 2 days after my third shot. But like you said, I didn't equate anything. It never even occurred to me that there was a connection. It was very flu-like. There was massive sinus draining, some head pressure, like cold flashes, like heat and cold, just like a flu. So I thought I had the flu. But after about a week, when it didn't get better, in fact, it got worse, that's when I made my first trip to the doctor and kind of left there with the idea it was some type of respiratory virus. Continued to get worse. And another trip to the doctor around Thanksgiving of 2022, and he was a little mystified. That's when we started doing a lot of different blood tests. And by December, by Christmas time, my body was done. I had to tell my employer, like, look, I can't work. And there are a number of symptoms with this. I can get into the symptoms, but there's one that just makes it overwhelming. But the symptoms, like the sinus draining, the hot and cold flashes, tremors, headaches, balance loss, back pain, brain fog, which I still get occasionally. So if I pause now, I have notes. So if I suddenly, like, it's weird, you get like a mist in your brain and you kind of forget what you're talking about. So if
I've
that
heard that
happens, that's
described.
what's occurring.
Right, I've
But
heard that
anyways,
described.
out of all those symptoms, the worst, the I could have lived and worked with those symptoms, but it was the debilitating, different universe type of exhaustion. Well, when I say exhaustion, people are like, oh yeah, when I don't sleep, I'm tired. This is different universe exhaustion, where I literally was made into nothing. I could do nothing. Where if I tried to push too hard, one simple act in a day would wipe me out for the day. And I can literally, like, I remember one day I tried to get my own glass of water, wiped out for the day, could do nothing. I remember one day I thought I was doing okay. I put a picture on the wall. I hung a picture, wiped me out for the day, like literally exhaustion, that to the point that feels like you're dying. Now, obviously I'm sitting here talking to you. I'm living and breathing. So I don't know what it feels like to die. But for some reason, I feel I know what it close, because there were days where I just literally felt like I was dying.
Now, is this exhaustion that you described? Do you feel like the urge to and forgive the question? Do you feel the urge to fall asleep? Is it
No.
Just like you're sitting there and you just can't move? And
that's just it. That's the problem. That's what makes it a nightmare. Number one, I already had insomnia coming into this. It's hereditary, that I've dealt with it all my life. So even when I tried to, like, go into a sleep, it's not that type of exhaustion either. It's really hard to kind of elaborate and clearly specify the feeling, because it's unlike anything I've ever felt. But if it puts you into a sleep, then you were happy, because then it wasn't in your face, you know? And when I started going through the treatments, which I'll get into in the programs, I started sleeping up to 14 to 16 hours a day. And as my doctor put it, he's like, that's when your body truly is in its heightened healing state, when you're going into these deep sleeps. So, but that I didn't get that. I spent 7 months without a diagnosis. And again, I will get into that part later. So, I mean, this was overwhelming. And I went through six doctors in 7 months without a diagnosis. And that was the truly awful part. And that's where, again, having this conversation, I know there's other people like me out there where they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And so this conversation today is a start, because we've got to get help to these people. So
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that in the chronology, so my primary care doctor, through four visits, he just couldn't figure it out. So by January of 2023 is when I had my first neurology appointment. And this is where, if there's any message that anybody takes out of my appearance on your show today, if they take anything from any of what I say, you have to advocate for yourself in today's healthcare system. This is what I learned. There are some flaws in our healthcare systems that would blow your mind. And I didn't know how to advocate. Fortunately, my partner, Christine, who is wonderful, has had an experience in her lifetime where she learned to advocate in the healthcare system. And I learned through her. Everybody assumes that doctors know everything. They know what they're talking about. They don't. There's a reason why they call it practicing medicine and not asserting medicine. You don't have to take what a doctor says at face value. You have the right to ask questions. You have the right to go to other doctors. And I want to tell you what happened with two of my doctors.
Please.
The first neurologist, in January of 2023, the day before my appointment, my in-person appointment, changed it to a Zoom. That was the first red flag. Then through the course of the Zoom, after about 40 minutes, really not listening to a word I said, actually diagnoses me with migraines and potentially Parkinson's disease through a Zoom. He prescribes me medicine for migraines and medicine for Parkinson's. I questioned that. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. I immediately went to another doctor. Thankfully I did, because that doctor said, Craig, get off that Parkinson's medication, which I hadn't taken, thankfully. He said, that is dangerous. He said, I was already taking a medication for insomnia. And he said, if that had mixed with the Parkinson's medication, it would have immediately wiped out my kidneys and potentially my liver. So this is where advocation for yourself. This is my second doctor in this process, and I went through seven. So already we're off to a terrifying start. But that second doctor couldn't figure out the diagnosis. Then I went to a very, very high profile neurologist at a very prestigious university hospital. He came highly recommended. This is where I had brain MRIs, I had a lumbar spine MRI, I had a cervical spine MRI, a whole neurological, imaging, because they had to rule out all the major stuff. And this was really scary, like brain tumors, cancers, ALS, meningitis, stroke, all the really bad, bad stuff.
Right.
And fortunately, this neurologist, according to my scans, ruled all that out. However, because he was the prestigious, all-knowing neurological doctor, and he couldn't find anything wrong with me, he literally told me my next move was to see a psychotherapist. That was devastating.
That broke me as a man. I can only imagine. I hear that from a lot of people who have suffered, as you put it, negative adverse reactions to these injections. Mm-hmm. And that is always the fallback when these doctors can't find anything else.
Exactly. And this is my plea to anyone in medicine. Please do not so callously use the word "it's in your head" or "go see a psychotherapist" if you can't figure it out. Just it's devastating to people. And then I'm left crazy knowing how physically I was beaten down and still questioning, am I crazy?
Greg, it's literally adding insult to injury, literally.
Yes. Yes.
So just to put a fine point on this, what was your health like before this?
Well, thank you for asking that, because it's important to note that how this can happen to anybody. I have spent my life really into fitness. I played college football, and then ever since then, I have made fitness and healthy eating, healthy lifestyle a part of my life. I work out 6 to 7, or before this happened, 6 to 7 days a week. I treated my body as well as you could, and I still got taken down like a felled tree. So even a healthy lifestyle did not do anything for me pertaining to this.
And how soon after that third shot did you start suffering these symptoms?
2 days I started getting sick, but again, it was light and flu-like. So I never made that correlation. Let's fast forward ahead to my seventh doctor, who is the angel in this entire picture. His name is Dr. Jeffrey Kotulski, and he's the chief doctor at Between the Bridges Healing Center. He's not only the most brilliant doctor I've ever met, he's also the most compassionate doctor that I've ever met. And those two are really important, because a doctor can be brilliant, but if he's not compassionate, you're not going to truly get the care that you need. And Dr. Kotulski has, well, first of all, he was the only one to diagnose me and the only one to help me. So let's just start with that. I mean, and it took me, I finally got to him in April of 2023. And by June 14th, of 2023, I was back to work, feeling at about 90%. So, I mean, he did something that nobody could do. It's important to note that what I've learned through this illness is it's not a linear illness. Like a lot of people, when you think of illness, let's just take the flu, for example, you start out feeling a little crappy and it gets worse. And then there's like the pinnacle, and then it slowly gets better and slowly gets better. This illness does not work like that. First of all, Dr. Kotulski got me back to feeling better that June, but he warned me. He said, "Craig, look, we don't have a ton of science, behind this right now. There's a possibility that this could come back." And he compared it to like getting an illness into remission. No, you can do that, but it could come back. And sure enough, this November of 2023, it came back. And in December of 23, I had to go out of work again and started getting treatment. And also, when I say it's not linear, like people could look at me today and say, "Craig, you look really good." Well, first of all, I'm 3 months back into treatment and it's working. But it's not linear in the case that you can have one or two really good days and I can look like I have energy and life to me. And then suddenly you'll have 4 days where you're back on the floor. And then you might have one or two days where you feel good again, and then back on the floor. And as you progress through the treatment, it's all about getting one or two days up to three or four, and then five or six good days, and ultimately, hopefully seven. That's the progression of how this works. It's really kind of, it's unique. And insurance companies don't like it either. Like my disability insurance does not like that it's not linear, because they want it. Are you better or are you not? And yeah, today I'm better, but the next 4 days I could be on the floor.
That's got to be incredibly frustrating to live through.
Yeah, it. I mean, at least I understand it now, and I'm truly thankful that I have a diagnosis, because there's some people that do not. And again, I got fortunate to get teamed up with a remarkable group called Team Humanity, and they are a group of advocates and victims in Minnesota, and they've been remarkable. They've been absolutely remarkable. And we need to get, so I'm having one of these brain fog things now. We need to get.
Well, tell me about that. Tell me about the importance of finding people who are going through the same kind of things that you're going through.
Well, it's game changing, because you learn you're not alone, number one. And I learned that I was actually fortunate with even being as sick as I am, 13 out of 18 months there. I met a lot of people with vaccine intoxications that have had their lives changed worse than mine. And, you know, there have been some deaths, or I met a person that had a heart transplant, and the founder of, she's gonna be mad at me. I'm having brain fog. I can't even think of her name right now. Okay, Susanna Newell, I apologize, Susanna. The founder of Team Humanity, she was a triathlete,
right?
Peak form,
right?
And one vaccine, and she was in a wheelchair for a year and a half. Yeah. And she was a valedictorian of her class, and she experiences a lot of the same brain fog that I do. It's hard for her to think. So she founded Team Humanity. But going back to your question, it's remarkable to meet people that you have similar shared experiences with, especially an experience that, you know, kind of has been deemed to be kind of faux pas to talk about, like not accepted. I am thankful that there's a lot more acceptance in it, because as you know, initially this was a very polarized and political issue, and this never needed to be a polar or political issue. This is a people issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, the polarization of the issue and the politics that surround it really have been an impediment to having these types of discussions that we're having now about it.
That's exactly right. Tell us about these pitfalls that you encountered in the healthcare system. I like to tell people, you know, people who say, "Oh, I have great health insurance," or "the healthcare system is great." I like to tell them, "No, the healthcare system is terrible, and you have terrible health insurance. You just haven't figured that out yet. You just haven't found that out yet, thankfully for you." Tell us about your experience with that.
This is why we need to create further discussion, because the six doctors and all the tests that didn't diagnose me were at least in some way covered by insurance. The doctor who was able to diagnose me and help me in no way that anybody can, because the medical procedures are not recognized by the FDA, the medical procedures that he used to get me better are not recognized by the FDA. None of my treatments that work are covered. All of them that didn't were. What is wrong with that picture?
That is so perverse.
I'm staring at a healthy five digits in medical bills. And I know there are people that have more than that. So there is something wrong with this. And how do we fix that? It starts with the conversation like this, but it just seems to be so massively wrong, so massively inverted. I question, like, how do we get to a point like that?
Tell me about the advocacy. You mentioned a moment ago that you have to advocate for your. What does that look like? What does that sound like? Because I think that is sadly a ever increasing part of our healthcare experience. You encounter doctors who are A, either reluctant, or B, they just simply don't know any better about diagnosing your condition and treating you in a way that you don't just treat the pain or manage the pain that you're going through, whatever the ailment is, to cure it. It seems like curing something has been just kind of deleted from the healthcare goal system. It's just all about managing it and treating it.
Yeah, well, you know, right off of that, the prestigious neurologist that told me to go see the psychotherapist, I literally in my portal begged him, please, can you find me somebody else that can help? Just at least do that for me. And he said, I can do nothing but refer you back to your primary care physician, who I'd already seen four times. So what's wrong with that?
Right.
So when you're talking about advocate, again, it's like you have to stand up for yourself and be able to say, no, I do not accept that as an answer. And if you do not hear an answer that you like or you think that works, then you have the right to move on and question health decisions. I mean, so much of what doctors want to do, and it was proved in my case with the Parkinson's drug, they just want to give you a pharmaceutical. And that doctor, by the way, told me to come back in 3 months. So can you imagine if I had taken the migraine drugs and the Parkinson's drug and waited 3 months, which I might not have even lived those 3 months?
Yeah.
It's insane.
No, that's sadly not hyperbole. When you first started experiencing the onset of these symptoms, I assume that when you went to your first six doctors, I assume that you mentioned, hey, you know, this happened right after my third booster. Were any of them open to exploring the idea that it might have been the vaccine?
But Mike, see, that's what I never even made that connection.
Okay.
Like it's so easy in hindsight to like, you know,
right.
I kind of feel stupid because when you know something, you know it. But like in hindsight, just nobody made the connection. And again, having the conversations we have now, I'm appealing to doctors and medical professionals to get involved with this, to learn more about this, so we have more medical professionals that are able to help, because that's a big issue and was a big issue for me. But let me tell you about a story my doctor, Dr. Kotulski, told me in my last visit, because as far as I know, he's one of the only doctors in the state that is capable of treating this. Mm. And because that is the case, people are coming out of the woodwork to come see him, because there's a lot of people that like, wow, this might be what I have. They've been in isolation like I was for 7 months. He right. literally told me in my last visit, he is working 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day, 16 hours a day. He is so full of vaccine toxified patients, he has room for no more. He told me a story where he had a couple drive literally 400 miles. A guy got out in a wheelchair and the couple came to him asking for treatment. It broke his heart to say, I'm sorry, I can't treat anyone without an appointment. We are full. And I'm not trying to make my doctor look bad. He is, I told you, he is a compassionate man. When he told me this story, there were tears in his eyes, but he's only human. He can't help. He has to sleep and eat too. You know, he can't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right. So he's literally turning people away. So I am begging the medical profession to start thinking about this more. How are ways that we can help all these people? There are a lot of them now.
I that's exactly what went through my head when you were telling me that story. The real villains here are the people who came up with this concoction and forced all of us to get it, thus creating that kind of demand for the services that your doctor provides.
There, okay, and I can recognize, you know, there are two truths, okay? There is a truth that I can accept, that this vaccine in a time of crisis did help a lot of people. That is a truth. But there also is a truth that a large number of people, which is a small percentage of the population overall. See, that's what people want to say. Oh, it was only a small percentage of people that were hurt. Right. Yeah, it was a small percentage, but that still reflects a large number of people. And, you know, I can recognize,
even if it's a small number, it still needs to be acknowledged.
Exactly. And I can, you know, so as a person that is experiencing this illness in the capacity that I have, I can still recognize the net benefit that the COVID vaccines have. You know, the net benefit, it did help thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. But again, because there's a net benefit, it does not mean a whole group of other people should be just dismissed. And again, thankfully, the data is now finally coming out and we're finally starting to get more recognition. But just think about the big picture about vaccines and drugs in history, right? There's no vaccine in history where it's been in a position where it hasn't caused some harm. Or drugs of any kind. Let's just take the commercials, for example. How many pharmaceutical commercials do you see? And what do they do at the end of every commercial? They list about 30 side effects. Right?
And
but it, you know, it could be muscle pain, appetite loss, you know, blindness to gas. It's a myriad of things. Some of them are serious, like coma or heart attack. Why do they have to list these you know, disclaimers in their commercials? Because their clinical trials, at least one person had one of those reactions.
Right.
And that's what I go back to when we say everybody is unique. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's body reacts to things differently. So when they list the 30 side effects, people had those side effects when they took that drug.
You know, I speak to a lot of folks and I ask them, I always try to ask this question. What role did this massive, my word, not any of theirs, but this massive propaganda campaign that was pushed on us regarding the vaccines being safe and effective, what role did that play in you getting the vaccine? If that wasn't there, would you have been a little bit more hesitant to get it? Would you have put it off a little bit more until we knew a little bit more about the effects? What say you to that? How do you answer that question?
Possibly I would have still gotten them, but because I just had never had an issue with a vaccine before. But I will say, you know, when we were told, there was a little deception in that process. Again, I will recognize net benefit, but there was deception in the process when we were told to trust the science.
Yes.
Science doesn't occur instantaneously.
Right.
It takes time. And, you know, the emergency nature of the need for the vaccines didn't allow for the proper scientific evaluation to occur. And the clinical trials were not what they normally should have been. So trust the science. We are just now seeing the science because we're finally seeing what has happened and continues to happen. And now we have the time to where we can poke the holes in things and ask informed questions and come out with more scientific answers.
That's exactly right. Tell us about what an average day looks like for you now.
Well, if it's a good day, you know, and now that I'm 3 months into treatment and I'm probably up to about 2.5 good days a week, if it's a good day like today, I'm just thankful. And here's what I will tell you, Mike, and if I told you if there's any lessons that you can take out of this conversation today, the first is to advocate for yourself and the healthcare system. The second, I want to share with people the most valuable thing that I've learned through this process, and that is a perspective, an appreciation for what it's like to feel good, because we're all guilty of kind of glossing through life. Life moves fast, right? It goes fast and it's busy. And we often don't take the time to appreciate the gift of feeling good until we don't have it. And I'm in that boat.
Yeah.
I'm in that boat. I mean, when I get up and feel good, I literally will take the time to say, you know what? That's a gift. Mm. And I feel like I've become a better person for it. So if I can get this to finally go away, I will be able to say in the long run that this adversity actually made me a better person, because I will approach every day with that perspective and be thankful that every day is a gift.
I think that's very powerful. I'd love to talk about the fact that you seem to be finding some relief in functional medicine outside of the mainstream kind of medical establishment. And by the way, again, it's maddening that the one thing that's getting you results is the one thing that's not covered
Not
by. I mean,
covered.
I think that's very telling in and of itself. We could probably do another bunch of episodes just on that. But tell us a little bit about what the functional medicine looks like. Is it diet? Is it, rest? Is it a combination? What's going on there?
So the first time around the it was a high profile ozone blood transfusions. It was several ozone blood transfusions. That was the main thing that helped me. So they literally, it's almost like dialysis, where they take my blood out and fuse it with ozone and ultraviolet light and put it back in.
I've never heard of that treatment.
Yeah, it's considered experimental. And again, the FDA doesn't recognize it, but it helped me. I have done methylene blue treatments. I have done peptide treatments. I have done hormonal treatments. And now what I'm since so when I talked to you about this not being linear, and I got, I was made well last June, and now that this is the second time around has actually been worse, so it's taking longer. But there's new technology, there's all so there's all as things evolve, we talk about science. Well, my doctor, Dr. Kotulski, now has new technology, and what we're doing now are growth factor infusions. And this technology initially started, so you've heard of like stem cell, right?
Correct.
Stem cell and placenta matter, the stuff that surrounds babies.
Yes.
That science became useful in localized injections where, like, if you had a sports injury, like a torn tendon or even a burn or something localized where you could inject these growth factors and it would start tissue regeneration and growth. My doctor is now using that science in an infusion for my full body, not just a localized injection. So the science is the same. It's designed to start tissue regeneration, but not just on a local level, a full body level. And I'm finding that that's what's finally working the second time.
Is there a way to detox? What does your research reveal to you on that?
I don't know anything about that helping. I mean, I've done there's been some supplements that I've taken. One of them is ivermectin, what's got a lot of, interesting publicity.
Right.
The hormonal stuff, like I said, there's a few other supplements I can't think of off the top of my head that have been a part of this, but they're just supplemental to the first time it was the ozone blood transfusions that was the main treatment. And this I've done ozone transfusions this time, but my main treatment is the growth factors infusions.
How big? Go ahead.
I do want to tell you another story my doctor told me.
Please, yes.
It's important to note. He told me that his ability to report, there was a central reporting agency in the government where he could report his treatments of vaccine toxifications. And I'm not talking about the VAERS system. If people have heard of VAERS, that's the Vaccine
Yes.
Adverse Event Reporting System.
Yes.
That was for individuals. I'm talking about the doctor central reporting agency in the government. He recently told me they eliminated it. And he's like, Craig, I can't even tell the government now what I'm treating you with. It disappeared. And so I was left thinking, well, why would it disappear? And the only answer I can come up with, now that this is starting to heat up, they want it to disappear. Literally. Let's just get rid of it. That's not going to happen. Because it's the truth is always going to come out, and it's starting to come out now.
It's baffling to me. I mean, it seems like the institution of vaccination has to be protected at all cost. And you just can't come up with any more innocent reasons for that. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, like you said, even if the people who suffer adverse reactions are in the minority, they still exist and they're still real. Why would you not want to hear about them? I mean, if nothing else, it might help you make a better product. If vaccines
Exactly.
are your thing and you believe wholeheartedly in that, then that's fine.
Right.
Don't you want that feedback so you can improve your product? It makes no sense to me.
That's what you would think. Yeah, that's the logical mode of thinking. I believe people do have, you know, the right to given their to take an analysis of their own health situation and make an informed decision to what they want. Either way, I do want to give you the visual analogy though that I kind of came up with that will help people truly understand and kind of see this in a visual way in their mind. But I want to preface it by saying I'm going to use the word war in the analogy, and I want to make sure that I'm not offending any of our servicemen and women, our veterans, because I have the utmost respect for them. And I had a grandfather who was a prominent frontline person in World War II. So when I use the word war in this analogy, I just want to make sure I'm not offending anyone in the military.
Fair enough.
But the pandemic was a war. Can
Yeah.
we agree on that?
I wholeheartedly agree on that.
The enemy was the virus. So the government and combined with the pharmaceutical companies gave us a weapon to go into that war with. The weapon was the mRNA vaccines. Now, for many, that weapon worked in the war. They came back. They came back home unscathed. However, for some, not only did that weapon not work, that weapon turned around and fired itself on the user, inflicting great damage.
That's a great
And
analogy.
not only did that weapon inflict great damage, but a lot of these people were left behind and forgotten with no recognition that their issued weapon fired upon themselves.
I think that I've heard a lot of analogies about this pandemic. I think that one probably takes the cake. I think it's spot on. What does your doctor tell you about I don't know if this is the right word, recruiting, but that kind of field growing. Obviously, there's a demand for it. Do you hear anything from him about other doctors getting into it, or other doctors just beginning to see the light, or is it just kind of a still an isolated type of thing?
He talks of knowing some others that are involved in it. I know he's mentioned Dr. Pierre Corey, who I think is out of Wisconsin. I know he's a nationally renowned doctor, and he's come publicly and said he's treated over 1,200 vaccine toxification cases. I do want to make another point though, pertaining to the recognition of what's going on and how the recognition is improving. It was about a year ago that someone told me that you couldn't even Google vaccine injury. It would autocorrect into vaccine injection. It wouldn't even let you like look up vaccine injury. Now, if you Google vaccine injury, a myriad, an abundance of stuff will come up, including the definition that they now give the vaccine toxicity, which is long vax syndrome, and Google will give you that definition. I don't like the long vax syndrome, you know, label, but at least we have an official label now. That's a start. But long vax syndrome to me doesn't properly recognize like the horrors that I've been through. It's just, I guess I can't be too greedy. At least it's officially recognized, and you know, we'll go from there.
What has your research told you about the importance of early diagnosis?
You know,
Would it made a
I guess.
difference if one of those first half dozen doctors,
Oh, well, it
kind
would
of
have been less time suffering. Let's just start with that. I mean, and that's again why I'm on your show today, because I want to. There's basically two mess outside of the advocating for yourself and the being thankful every day for feeling good. There's two general messages that I want accomplished, and the first is what we've been talking about. Let's get more doctors and medical professionals involved so there's more availability for people to get help. And let's get recognition with our lawmakers and legislatures so they can start creating laws that help people get funding for stuff that insurance isn't paying for. So those are the two things that I want to see happen.
I think that's great. Well, in the few minutes that we have left here, Craig, tell us about what the next few months look like for you. What are you hoping to see? What are you hoping to do? Are you planning on doing a little bit more advocacy. What do you got coming up?
Yeah, well, that's been my mission now is to definitely keep helping those that have been afflicted. And you know, I personally believe my spiritual journey tells me that God's not going to give me more than I can handle. And I've even though it's been a nightmare, I've handled this. So I think the reason why this happened to me is so I can help other people. And when I go with that, then I can sit comfortably with it and not be bitter about it. Because if you sit around and be bitter, oh, woe is me that just happened to me, it's not productive. What does that get done?
Yeah.
If I can create a purpose for this happening to me, and that purpose is helping other people, then I can say that maybe it was worth it.
That's absolutely right. And that's a great note to end on. Thank you very much for taking the time, Craig. You know, we always learn a lot from hearing about the experiences of folks like you, and hopefully people can take some of these messages to heart and know that acting is, you know, it's a hard road, but there is help out there. So thank you for sharing the story.
Thankful for having the platform to share it. And yeah, we just got to keep having the conversations.
Come back real soon.
Okay.